I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, Pure Evil. Well, not entirely pure evil, but Evel Knievel. First, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Game one of the NBA Eastern Conference semifinals between the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat has certainly attracted some hyperbole. Do you agree with those who suggest that tomorrow's game will be, and I'm quoting now, the most important playoff series of LeBron's career and, quote, bigger than the finals?
Well, it won't be bigger than the finals, presuming Miami gets there. But to get there, they have to beat the Celtics. You know, he had that awful experience when he was with Cleveland against the Celtics, where they got beat in the seventh game in Boston. I still think the Celtics will beat them. I don't think Miami has a matchup at point guard for Rajon Rondo. But I think there's going to be at least one game where Miami plays up to its potential and probably wins by 17.
The Lakers needed six games to knock off the New Orleans Hornets. They finished the job on Thursday night. Will L.A. have better luck against the Dallas Mavericks?
I suspect they will. They don't have a player to keep up with like Chris Paul from New Orleans. The Lakers were injured. They're old. They're a little bit banged up. Having gotten through the series with New Orleans, I think they'll be fine. The question will come if and when they play Oklahoma City.
The second round of the NHL playoffs is now underway. Anyway, the second round can be as exciting as the first. We did see some good hockey.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. You know, the first 9 days of the playoffs had at least one overtime game. There were 25 games decided by one goal. The Bruins came back from down 0-2 and now play the Flyers, against whom they blew a 3-0 lead last year. Oddly enough, and this is probably my favorite stat of the first round series, the Flyers were the first team since 1988 to win a playoff series despite starting three different people at goalie. So I would suspect they're going to have to settle on one pretty soon.
Well, they were all rested. I guess that's the secret. The Vancouver Canucks have already proven that they don't need such things as rest or sleep. After Game 7 overtime win over defending champion Chicago on Tuesday, Vancouver came back to beat the Predators on Thursday night. This perhaps bodes well for the Canucks.
I think they're breathing easier. I think that loud noise you heard from Western Canada was a huge sigh after they got by the Blackhawks, who were well on their way to doing to the Canucks what they'd done to them the previous three seasons, which was knock them out of the playoffs too soon. I think Vancouver can relax. They were very, very good at the end of the game against Nashville, and I think they've got too much firepower for the Predators.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell was greeted by chants and boos at the league's draft on Thursday night. I assume the boos were related to the NFL's ongoing labor dispute and not the Carolina Panthers' pick of Cam Newton as the number one draft pick.
No, but I liked, if you're a connoisseur of people ducking out on things like booing and catcalling, the way Goodell did it, which was to ask for a moment of silence in memory of the victims of the tornadoes in the South, I thought was fairly deft. I was just surprised that there wasn't more airborne produce in the hall, to be honest with you.
Well, it's only April. I mean, the level is going to go up, I presume.
Well, this is the only chance they're going to get at him, basically.
For the first time since 1999, the Minnesota Vikings took a quarterback in the first round, Florida State's Christian Ponder. I guess this means they figure Brett Favre is, in fact, retired.
Well, one would hope so. I mean, I hope Brett looks at the handwriting on the wall, which at this point in his career is probably in giant pink neon, which says, "It's time to go to Canton, my friend."
Ben Zobrist of the Tampa Bay Rays became only the fourth player in Major League Baseball history to get seven hits and at least 10 runs batted in a doubleheader on Thursday. The last player to do so was San Diego's Nate Colbert back in 1972, but Colbert knocked in 13 runs during that doubleheader. So do we still tip our caps to Mr. Zobrist?
Yes.
You know, 10 RBIs is a pretty good month for a lot of ball players.
Well, how come we're forgetting the first person to do it, who is Sonny Jim Bottomley of the St. Louis whatever they were in 1929, probably the Browns? I mean, if we're going to go back, let's go back, damn
it.
All
right, sounds good to me.
Can we stop now?
Texas A&M and Duke are among the schools taking advantage of a loophole in the Title IX legislation that is supposed to provide equal opportunities to women. Those schools, and apparently other schools as well, just say that some of their male athletes are women. How do they get away with that?
Because it's easier than actually complying with the federal law. The New York Times has done a study of this at Division I colleges across the United States and found out, to no one's surprise, that rather than actually comply with the law demanding equality and treatment of your female athletes, that a lot of colleges would simply prefer to lie their way around it.
And this is a particularly creative lie, though, because what they're saying is the men who practice against the women's basketball team count as women.
Yes, they do. I don't know if they've cleared that with the men or not. It's just...
Charlie, you remember our running competition sometime back among college basketball analysts to find the best named athlete of the season. We discontinued that because some listeners thought it was in poor taste, but I wonder if they would object to bringing it back for the latest recruit to sign on at St. John's.
Yeah, the 6'8" power forward from Nigeria, whose father was a minister, is named God's Gift Achiuwa.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can he miss?
And somewhere out there, God Sham God is wondering why his parents didn't have any imagination.
And finally, Charlie, a YouTube video of an 18-month-old boy kicking a ball into his toy box has gone, as they say, viral. Apparently, officials from the Dutch soccer team VVV Vento were among the hundreds of thousands of viewers because they offered this 18-month-old kid a contract.
Yeah, little 18-month-old Berk Vandermeer, who kicks three soccer balls into his toy chest. Now, does that mean that when I'm tossing crumpled up pieces of whatever I'm writing at the moment into the ash can, the Celtics will burst through my door and offer me a deal?
Charlie Pierce is the author of Idiot America, among other books. He joins me each week at this time on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.
To learn more about the books we feature or the music you hear on Only a Game, please visit our website, onlyagame.org.